April 8, 2006. Episode number 23. Interview with Bois Arcand family near Osceola, Iowa.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Kanabaki, and you're listening to another episode of the Slaga Geocaching Podcast. It's a fairly warm spring day outside of St. Louis, Missouri. I have the door to my deck open, and you can hear some of the birds chirping. Across the Merrimack River, they're making a new park, which could possibly have a cache in it sometime soon. In this particular podcast, I am including some audio from a trip that Elaine and I recently made to the Wisconsin area. We left Saturday, April 8th, headed from the St. Louis area on Highway 70 to Kansas City. Did some caches in Kansas City and then headed north on 35. On our way to Minneapolis-St. Paul area, we stopped overnight at Osceola, Iowa. Bois Arcand has set out a cache series. We had to find four caches in order to find the fifth cache. Each of the four caches was called Wee 1, Wee 2, Wee 3, Wee 4. It was in the theme of the children's This Little Piggy. After you found all four caches, you would have enough information to find the fifth cache, called All the Way Home. However, one of the caches has recently had his logbook replaced, and the additional information was missing. On one of the cache pages, Bois Arcand had said it was okay to ring their doorbell if we had a question about their cache. And because we couldn't find the final cache without the additional information, we decided to take her up on her offer. The rest of the podcast is after Elaine and I found one of the Wee series caches, which happened to be up the road from their house. And with eye river in hand, I pressed the doorbell.
It says you might have to ring the bell a couple times.
Hi. Are there geocachers here?
Yes, there are.
There's
all of us. I have a question for you. My name is Paul Kanataki. We're doing your series in
I'm
town.
Both
did you put them out?
Yes.
We were just at number 2 that was replaced.
Uh-huh.
Was there supposed to be additional information with that besides the new logbook?
Oh, yeah. You're probably
We figure we'll do this one, and if you're home, we'll ask and see if you have the additional information or not.
Hey, honey, did you go down the dash of my truck? And there's a little big logbook all folded up. You don't want a logbook.
Yeah.
Hi. Am I interrupting?
No.
Okay.
We're working on a geocaching project for
Are you?
School.
Headed up toward Wisconsin, and we've been through here once before. We were going to do these on the way back, but we ran out of time. So Lane says, well, we're up this way anyway.
Yeah.
And so we got a motel in town. We want to get this one before it got dark.
Did you find the one up here? How close were you on coordinates?
Perfect.
Real close, okay.
We did your other two in town, and I had no problem finding.
I'm recording.
Do you geocache too?
Oh, yes, she does. Okay.
Okay, 093-794. You're familiar with the St. Louis caching group at all, Slaga?
I've heard of them. I wanted to go down to the Moge event so bad. Yeah, a bunch of my buddies went. I'm on the IGO board.
We had a couple of Iowa people show up.
Summit Dweller and Windchill, Fish Pounder. Yeah, those guys are all on the board with me.
Right,
so
yeah.
A bunch of the guys were talking about going. I'm like, I want to go. And the lady I geocached with, he didn't let me go by myself.
You want to do a podcast right now, I'll put you in a podcast, and I'd like to hear what she's doing,
she,
if you don't mind.
She got, 100?
Oh, she's got 103.
Okay. I mean, I hate to just pop in and intrude,
but
this is great content. I just love to hear what you guys are doing.
Okay.
And it sounds like it's pretty quiet.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet
out
here.
So,
okay.
I mean, we can do it outside, too.
The neighbor's donkey doesn't go off while you're...
He doesn't do that in the middle of the night.
No, usually early in the morning or in the evening.
And then we have one back here that has a rooster, and it crows
all the time.
Do you cache with it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Cool. I don't have a sign on, though. I just let him log the caches, and then if I'm with him, he signs Ms. E.
But on big trips like this, she spends hours picking the ones along the route.
Right, right.
I mean, we have a, you know, we're not all paperless. We have a booklet this thick of just cash pages. Then we write a little notes on
it.
Yeah,
I do too.
She's doing a geocaching project that I want to find out about.
She's in a tag group down at her school at Murray, and they're having a tag banquet, and her teacher asked her if she would do a thing on geocaching because she's talked about it, and she's put some articles in her school paper.
Oh, it's a secret until it gets out?
The only person, other person that knows who it is I think, the first grade teacher.
This is our oldest granddaughter.
Yeah. This is Allie's arc.
We made it simple on ourselves. We planned out the route, and I used this program called GSAC. It's Geocaching Swiss Army Knife. And you can plan your route and then go into GSAC and say, give me all these caches, but only along this route. And then from those, we you know, pick down a little bit further, like, oh, that's one of those puzzle micros. We don't want to do one of those. Not that goes. Yeah. Right, although that's a, you know, that's a mystery cache, and there's two or three waypoints. We don't have time for that.
Yeah,
it goes.
Yeah.
So we're only doing, like, two difficulties and less. But once we get to Wisconsin, where we're going to stay for a while, give me every cache that's there, because you know we may walk a couple miles in the woods or something.
Sure.
Or, you know, so.
Yeah, we've kind of been sticking with the easier ones. Really. Well, Barb, the lady Iowa Copper's her cache name, the lady I cache with, and we've done all of them, you know, in the area, and it's like we're having to drive 2 hours to get to some place where we can find caches to do. So I did go up to Iowa City with her one weekend, and we did several up there. But
well, Des Moines not that far away. That they've got.
We've done all.
Oh, really?
We've done.
Wow.
We've done over 500 caches.
What's your find count?
561, I believe.
That's pretty good.
We were going every weekend. We didn't care what the weather was. We went every weekend. And then after Barb's baby, her grandbaby got sick and has to have the radiation, well, he's had chemo, so that kind of slowed us down last summer.
People are starting to report ticks down in St. Louis, so we're hoping, maybe if we get here in a hurry, it'll be cold enough, or they might not have, you know, come up this far yet.
Well,
but
I was reading a log from somebody, someplace in Des Moines the other day, and there were ticks already there. And I thought, my gosh, it's awful early for ticks. She's cached with us since she was about 8, so.
Well, okay. She's a seasoned cacher then.
Yeah. She actually started with me when I first started. She's actually got more caches than what she's logged, but we didn't start logging her until a little over a year ago. She wanted to do her own, so I said, okay. But I wasn't going back and doing all the ones you did before.
I still remember my first cache.
The first one that you found?
It was a Madison County Dash for Cache. It just happened to be one. It's at St. Charles exit as you're coming down the interstate, and it's just in town. There's a covered bridge, and it's there at the bridge.
Yeah. I remember what I got, too. I got a Christmas ornament.
Is it underneath the bridge? I don't know if it was the last time, but it was getting dark, and I did that one with my flashlight.
Uh-huh.
I thought, I got to get one more in.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, really.
So, and then no one was around. I thought, okay, I better get it quick, though, because, you know, somebody comes, they see somebody around the covered bridge with a flashlight. What are they doing?
Yeah, because they had one or two of them been burnt.
Yeah.
Well, they've got surveillance cameras, and they have volunteers watching all the bridges.
I think there's even a sign that says, you know, this may be under surveillance.
Yeah. Well, we went to the Cache Dash up at Carroll County last week. Man, another friend of mine. We did 35 caches that day. I said, my knees are still sore. Yeah, we're making a little diorama. Yeah. We're making an actual cache site.
Is that going to be an example of where you would find a cache?
Yep.
With the old geoflies. Do you go to school around here, or are you just visiting?
In
like coming out here and visiting?
Yeah. It's peaceful, very peaceful. My neighbor is kind of noisy.
Oh, okay.
We babysat with her when she was little, until she went to first grade. And
How old are you now?
I'm 9, going to turn 10 in May.
Going to be 10? Okay. You've been geocaching for a couple of years now, and you always go together?
Usually. I think I'm going to go with my mom to the cache in Murray Roadside Park.
So grandma can find one.
Yeah.
She's always helped me, so I'm going to set out. I'm going to set up one without her helping me.
Do you have any friends that also geocache? Do you ever? You can't talk to anybody about geocaching because they say, what? Geo what?
My friend Kate, we've had the opportunity, but she didn't want to.
Wasn't really interested.
Well, no, and she wanted to swim instead.
We think we're nuts hiking through the woods that
Far. You have your own GPS receiver? All your own?
I got it for Christmas. She got it for me.
Do you plug in the coordinates and stuff yourself?
Yeah, I knew that. I knew how to do that in like 5 minutes. It took her like.
Oh. Oh, we made the mistake of getting her the Floris 200 that you can't download them. And I said, I wish we'd gone a little more money and gotten one we could download from the internet because it's so much faster.
Well, how long have you been doing it? And how did you first hear about it?
I started in 2002 or 2003, the fall.
Three.
I worked for Girl Scouts. So I went to an outdoor trainers conference out in New York, and that was one thing they offered, was geocaching. And so this lady I cached with went with me, and that was one thing. We were hooked. You know, we had a two-hour session on it, and we're like, no, we don't want to go in. We want to do this some more.
Uh-huh.
And so they let us keep the GPSs, and we kept them that night, and we went back out after everything was done, and we found all but two of them.
Wow.
Then it rained on us, it got dark on us, we had no raincoats and no flashlights.
they would do it if it was icy looking dark.
And we didn't. We ended up getting up the next morning then going and finding the two that we hadn't found, and we're the only ones that had found all of them out there.
Is geocaching becoming more and more a thing that the Girl Scouts into,
yes, or? We're getting involved in it a little bit more. The older girls actually have a new badge that's called High Tech Hide and Seek, and it's letterboxing and geocaching together.
Okay.
So we've got to get it out to the girls. We're trying to get our leaders trained, and we've done several trainings with the adults and getting them trained and trying to set up some things at camp. We've got about 50 caches set up at our camp that the kids are just training caches that the kids can go find when they're up there.
Yeah, I'm going to Camp Survivor because at Camp Sacagawea, we have camp sessions, and I'm going to Camp Survivor for the second time, and they teach geocaching there. Last year, I was the demonstration, and no one knew I was her granddaughter.
We did throw a bone in, though. We gave her a Garmin GPS, and she's used to the Explorer.
Oh, okay. You handicapped her a little bit?
I don't like that.
She had to learn right with the others how to use that one. So.
Yeah, but at least I know what geocaching is.
You're not into
it? I work
nights. Oh, okay.
And Sundays and Wednesdays are my nights off, so my weekends are... When I work Friday night, they go all day Saturday, and I got to work Saturday night.
Yeah.
Eeyore likes to do a couple with me, though, and then he's done. Well, it used to be that the beginning caches were long hikes into the woods.
Right.
None of these little blinkies, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we have seen some of those guys have logged that they've done 100 in a day. It's like, how in the devil are they doing that? Well, and that's part of the reason I do it is for the exercise. And just to go out and walk, I won't do it.
Yeah.
But that way you have a purpose.
You have a goal.
Yeah.
Each one is a goal. When I wasn't working, just being, I get kind of depressed. I didn't have anything, any job or anything.
Yeah.
Going geocaching for the whole day and coming back, I was tired, sore, but it was a good sore, and I had all these goals that I found this
thing. You had a good feeling you were doing it instead of swapping.
Right, yeah. I challenged myself, and I was able to complete the goal.
I did a training with our outdoor trainers for Girl Scouts. Some of them are people that, you know, that GPS should tell you exactly where that cache is.
Oh, sure.
And they said, no, it doesn't work that
way.
It gets you within 30 feet, and then you have to think, okay, now where would they hide that cache?
Yeah.
And
right.
Then you have to search. That's part of the challenge, is actually finding
it. One of my caches, the Great Park, a bunch of people have said they can't find it because instead of hiding it in an obvious spot, I put it somewhere.
Uh-huh. You know, that's sneaky, because if you think you put like little piles of sticks that don't belong there, and the other looking's not there, and you put it somewhere else, well, they wouldn't even think.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty sneaky.
I mean, we walked up there, and I said, that'd be a really good place for a cache out. Oh, that's too obvious. I'm not putting it there.
Yeah, yeah. We found everyone we looked for today, except for one, which was in Cameron. I don't remember the name of it, but...
Was it a Duffer cache?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, I'm over here.
This one was, it looked like it used to be a gas station, and now it was like where they rented U-Hauls. And every corner, they had these little spy cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I saw that, I thought, no. I walked away from that one, because there's a limit to what I'll do, and I don't trespass on no pet trespassing signs.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm going alone, and it happens to be in a like a play area, and their mothers with their kids there,
yeah,
it wouldn't be good for me to sit around, snoop around for half an hour.
Yeah, it's good to have a kid with you.
Yes. You're a good excuse to be there.
Yeah, this lady that I cash with, she goes out and And she pushes the baby in the stroller, and she goes around and does caches.
Wow.
And she says that it really helps, you know, because you got the kid with you, and so...
Yeah.
Oh, I can tie his shoe. Yeah, the cache was, at one time, had been a pipe.
Oh.
And it was painted black, and it was just snapped under the front of the bench. And somebody turned it in as a bomb.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
He had to change the container. But it is back, but it's a different container.
It even said geocaching.com on it.
Yeah,
sticker and everything.
Well, in some places, we're allowed to put ammo boxes where they feel comfortable. Like, yeah. But now, Mark Twain National Forest, where there's a lot of wildlife, Tupperware containers are going to get chewed up within couple days.
Yep.
Especially if people put food in them or, you know, any kind of scent, they'll start chewing on the edge. And if they can open it up, it's gone.
Yeah. Do they, the state parks down in your area, do you have to get permits to?
The Missouri State Park System, we have a very good contact. Her name is Barb Wilson. She's a supporter of geocaching.
Uh-huh.
You fill out a form. You could be out there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably renew it if you wanted to. They don't really ask you, like, where did you put it or what's in it?
Uh-huh.
So we try to be proactive and not only fill out the form, but we say, here's the cache container. We may take pictures of it.
A lot of our state parks haven't quite gotten there yet, but we're working on the county conservation people now. We're making some headway with a lot.
In the beginning, we never asked for permission, but we were still pretty good about it. We didn't violate the rules.
Yeah.
Now that it's popular, we have to approach each individual land management separately.
Right.
City, county,
right.
State.
Yeah. Right.
These people are saying, oh, geocaching. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? And we're trying to help influence it to say,
yeah.
It brings people to your park, brings commerce to your area,
exactly.
It's a good outdoor activity.
Mm-hmm. It does bring tons of people. I've been to parks I never knew existed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just great to get out and see all of them.
Yeah.
I like it when there's water by it. I just like water and stuff like that.
Have you ever been out on where you have to walk for miles and miles just to find one cache?
Uh-huh. We had to go, like, 1 mile, and then it wasn't there, so we had to go back the mile and go somewhere else.
Oh, my.
Which is about another mile.
Yeah.
So we walked about 4 miles for a cache. But we found it.
Well, that's good. Well, then it was all worth it.
We don't usually give up. We go until we find them normally. So.
Usually. Oh. But if it takes us 2 or 3 hours with 3 or 4 people... we'll just kind of give up and get back.
Do you have events around here where you get together with other people and cache?
We haven't had a lot down in this area. I've been thinking about doing one, but I'm thinking at this time I don't have time to do one.
Okay.
But
you
a friend of mine, I had one in Des Moines, and it was just a small one. And then we're doing the cache bash up at Jester Park. 22nd, so I'm helping do that one. So get a little experience helping put one on, and maybe I can bring one down. There's one cache in Des Moines, and it's a multi. You have to go to 4 spots and then the last part is on his porch.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't say it's his property. It says it's on private property, but it's been, you know, okay.
Right.
So you're standing up there this far from the door, looking, and his little kids are standing there at the door watching.
Yeah.
it's like, oh, my God.
See, that's why I was worried about this one. We had decrypted the hint for this one. I said, you better decrypt it before we get there, because if we're looking around, everybody's watching us from the house, we're going to look stupid.
You can't see none through there, though.
Right. Yeah.
I think my neighbors over here probably wonder what the heck's going on, because there's been several people based here.
Yeah.
Out there.
They're not into it, so.
Oh, yeah.
They don't know about it. They have no clue what they're doing.
Yeah, even after they're trying to explain it, they just can't get it.
I know, neither do my friends.
I got stopped in Des Moines the other day. There's 2 caches in Des Moines that are called Know Your Trees. And you have to go to, like, 8 different trees, identify the tree to get the correct number to plug into that spot on the coordinates. I happened to be in Des Moines one day by myself, and I thought, I'm just going to go around, just drive around. I don't have to get out of the truck to do these caches, and I'll just take pictures of these trees. So I go up in the cemetery, and I'm taking pictures of this tree. Come out of the cemetery, there's a guy sitting there in a pickup, stops me. Uh-oh. He says, you taking pictures of my house? And I said, what? You taking pictures of my house? I said, no, I'm taking pictures of trees, and I have digital, so I showed him.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I had to explain geocaching to him,
right.
And he says, well, there's been people taking pictures of my house the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I looked at the cache date, and it had been out about that long, and I said, they're probably taking pictures of that tree.
We had a guy in Rolla, Missouri, and he lives there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why he was taking pictures of statues, but he had the campus cops come and tell him, you can't be taking pictures. And then they ended up following him home and questioned his wife. to make sure that, you know, he was who he said he was.
Yeah.
High the terrorist alert thing.
Oh, sure.
You know, strangers taking pictures. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're called tourists.
You gotta be careful anymore.
We've gotten stopped by the cops a couple times. Once we explained it, well, the one time we were up at Johnston, and there were a series of caches called Junior, and then they were numbered, and there were like 10 of them. And they were Altoids tins stuck under telephone booths and real simple finds like that. This one was at a Casey's under the phone booth.
Oh.
So I had been there. I had taken another friend of mine there to find it, and I took a third one. Oh. We were in her red van. And we pull up. They were sitting there a while in front of Casey's, and she's doing her lock and the whole nine yards. And so we pull out, go down to the Walgreens where there's another one, and we're sitting there, and they're logging in. All of a sudden, this cop pulls up, and we're like,
well, he's been watching you.
Can we help you? He said, were you just down at the Casey's store? Yeah. Did you drive off and not pay for your gas? And we're like, no. And he said, well, the guy inside turned your license in that you had not paid for gas.
Oh.
He thought we'd gotten gas and then pulled over in front of the store.
Oh.
And then we had to explain what we're doing. I had one of the brochures. I gave it to him and I said, this is what we're doing. Then we had to go back to Casey's and explain it to them inside what we were doing.
Has he got pictures in there?
Yeah,
show me
some
pictures.
Can you open it?
Yeah.
What do they call it?
Scrapbooking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. She did this all herself. Pictures.
That's your real name, but your geocaching name was that?
Boa's Ark. I've worked with Girl Scouts for years, since her mother was little. And I used to work at our Girl Scout camp up at Boone.
That's
and I drove a great big old Ford station wagon. And we,
when
we had time, they'd all pile in the in my car. They called it the Ark, and my camp name was Boa.
That's
okay,
and that was a training. So they just got to call it Boa's Ark. So that's what my license plate says.
When you take pictures, do you also post them to the?
Sometimes I do. It depends on what the pictures are. This was Allie's first day caching after she got her new GPS for Christmas.
It was.
Yep.
Why Savannah?
Because that's Juliet Lowe, and Juliet Lowe was born in Savannah.
Okay.
Juliet Lowe was the one that started Girl Scouts in the United States. So.
Uh-huh. That's a nice travel bug.
Yeah. I have Flower Power, which is in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I have All About, which I think is in Arizona.
I don't know. I'm not sure where it is. This is some of Duffer's caches down in Missouri.
Drilled out bolts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It took us forever. Three stops in one day and about 2 hours to find that one.
Yeah.
Looked like it was in the winter, though.
Yeah, that was the day that we had decided to go to Missouri caching because it was real icy up here. So we head to Missouri, and there's ice everywhere.
Oh.
And we get down there, and Barb has a sister that lives down there. We found out the kids were out of school like a week.
Uh-huh.
So we were down there, and we're thinking, oh, my God, we're caching down here.
Yeah.
This works down here. It wasn't Iowa.
They had to climb the tree.
Oh, my God.
There's Barb. There she is. And then the cache is clear up there.
Yeah.
Where was that?
It's up by Johnston somewhere. And we did go back in about 4 months later, and I climbed the tree too. I decided that was something I wanted to do as a goal, was to actually climb that tree, and I did it too. So, and I made it. I took my camera up and I took pictures down, and then I had I took a rope with me and I helped, let my camera down and Barb took pictures. This is a letterbox the first letterbox we actually did.
Yeah.
I have a letterbox over not too far from here. It's a hybrid. It's a geocache.
Okay.
TV, so.
Did it start out as a letterbox, or did you mean it to be a hybrid from the very beginning?
No, I made it a hybrid as soon as we did it. There just aren't very many down in this area of Iowa. I have one that's in a county park. Oh, it's about 7 miles from here. And it's a four-stage multi, and then you find, you know, coordinates to each next one, and then to the final.
Uh-huh.
And those parts are coming up missing all the time. And last time I went out and fixed it, I logged, if this goes missing again, I'm archiving.
Yeah.
I'm just tired of messing with it.
You know, I found out when you try to do really cool, creative caches, and they're too technical, then keeping them up and working is pretty hard.
It is.
It's like mechanical or clever. But then somebody didn't put it back right, or this broke, or it got wet and it rusted. And
right.
This part is missing. And
right.
It's crazy, so I said, I'm not going to mess with it very much longer because it just takes too much time.
Yeah.
I think I put out a total of about 24 caches, and I only the last one that I put out, was the only one that ever got lost or mangled. And it actually, the water flooded up on the Merrimack River. Oh. And you could see where everything used to be there, all the dead wood and everything, was all kind of pushed away. And so it had water come up, lifted up, and probably just took it downstream.
One of the best caches we've ever had was by water. We walked down the path, it was okay. At the end of the path, right around the cache, was a giant dead fish, a lot of little ones about this big, all around. I don't like dead animals.
Yeah.
I can't touch them, I don't like getting near them.
My all the way home, when I first put it out, I took a bleach bottle, and I made a pig, and I put camouflage tape all over it, so it was a camouflage pig. He was so cute, and I spent 2 hours making that thing, and it wasn't out a month, somebody took it.
Yeah.
So now it's just a Rubbermaid container.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
But that was a good idea.
It's not worth it.
Sometimes, little curly tail, didn't you, too?
The cash was just so cute, somebody wanted it, and then take it with them.
Yeah. Well, I had to move it just a little bit, because it was kind of in a spot that I figured, when I put it there, I thought, this may not stay.
Another gross cache we had, I think it was gross. There was a hollow tree, and like half of it, the cache was under there because the tree was kind of over, like laying over on the side. Well, Barb, I think, or I don't know, Copper, lifted the thing up, and there was like a plastic arm about here and down, all bloody, and I like that one.
I've gone to several events around Iowa, and every one of them, they come up. I mean, it's just like we just try to outdo the last one.
Yeah.
You know, we come up with new ideas.
Speaking of events, her and I went to an event. We went up a trail. There was a bridge. I stood on it for a little while, and they took a picture of me. Well, we went down the path, and they had said, like, once we went down the cache, down by the cache, they said it was lost. They reported it was lost. Well, Grandma found it by the hard way by stepping and tripping on it.
Nothing better than getting out in
that door. Oh, yeah. Right. Fresh air. And, you know, I have allergies and asthma, but...
Well, I do
so
too.
I put up with it.
I do, too.
It's worth it.
Doing computer games and video games.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm
in front of TV.
Video games in Walmart.
Oh, my. Aren't you political at this young age?
I hate Walmart.
She doesn't like to shop with us.
Usually girls my age do, but not me. Not my friend Bailey.
Do girls your age have cell phones?
No.
No?
Not in my class.
Do they want them, though?
I'm sure they do.
Dream on.
Yeah, really. Well, for the Girl Scout prizes, we sell cookies. One of my friend Kate, she only sold 90, but she wanted to sell like 140 or something to get a cell phone radio.
It's a radio. It's not a cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Well, I wanted a time to be you clock, but that was 300, and I didn't get there.
Oh.
I only got to 206, but I got this cosmic light. Last year was a blow-off, because I got this little voice recorder cat. Well, it wasn't a voice recorder. It was just a plushy, stupid, thinking cat.
Oh.
I was waiting on that thing. And then I just got it, like, this year.
Well, is that for selling cookies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you should sell cookies for somebody else who gives you better prizes.
Yeah, really.
Our council gives them camp credit incentives for selling so many cookies.
Oh.
So a lot of councils don't give them both. They'll just give them one or the other. Some of them don't give them anything. Just the percentage per box.
And then about camp, we get to go to sessions. And, of course, I signed up for the one she was doing.
She said, I don't want anybody to know you're my grandma. And we went the whole week.
Except,
and it was harder for me than it
was for her. Except I was washing my hands, and I had a tent buddy in there, and I could trust her. I was like, hey, Grandma, what are we going to do tomorrow?
The last day we turned, the night before last, we told him all that she was my granddaughter. We just figured it'd
be... People suspected it.
Yeah.
That way.
Sure.
On her.
People suspected it, too.
Some did, some didn't. So.
And I was like, no.
Well, I guess... It's been kind of cold, so I'll let you guys go, but I appreciate you entertaining us for a little bit here.
I was coming home from work one day, and I was behind this black Suburban, and I looked at it, and I thought, that's a travel bug on the back of that Suburban. And I thought, okay. So I pull up beside him. He's got a travel bug on the side. And I thought, what the heck? So I went around him. Then he pulled around me, and I waved, but I don't know whether he saw me or not. Well, then I go around him again and I hold my GPS up because I carry my GPS all the time. And he goes, yay, you know, just to get the number. Here's Suburban. Well, I'll still travel about.
This is a guy had set it out this, that day, I think, or something. Well, his wife and daughter went to the park. The girl was sitting on the bench. She was the cash. And then Grandma went to ask that guy where the cash was, and was like, oh, he was like, oh, she must have left.
He asked the little girl if she was the tax deduction. So we didn't get that. That was the only one we didn't get. So
yeah.
I think I
have
some. These bands, they're going to get harder and harder for people to come up with stuff. Being up here all day.
We started this morning at 9 from St. Louis. Oh, and
our kids used to go down to this hockey game dinner, St. Louis Blues.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
I think it's like 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah. Is there a walking stick with you in it?
We have
their hiking poles.
The Nordic. They're basically metal poles that are collapsible.
You made your own.
It comes out of timber down somewhere.
Mine is pretty light.
Yeah.
Just
because. I saw somebody who drilled a hole and put like a emergency kit, first aid kit.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. Oh, sure.
And I took one of our metal walking sticks. There used to be a compass on the top, a little cheapo one.
Uh-huh.
It had broken off, so I ended up putting a little quarter-inch screw, so I can put my camera on there for steadying me in the woods.
Yeah,
mine. Can I steer away the bears?
Yeah.
What kind of wood is that?
Oak.
Or hickory?
Hickory.
It was real heavy when I cut it.
Probably oak.
Oak, I think.
Oak. What was mine? Mine was
yours
really
is buckeye.
Buckeye. That was good, too.
Hmm. Seeing what they get for these, I thought, I'll just get in there and cut me one.
For mine, they even put ALI for my nickname.
We have found that all the geocachers we've met are just a great bunch of people.
Yeah, we have SLOG is a social club. Really,
it is
what it is.
Yeah.
Minnesota people, they go caching at night, and then they go and they socialize.
I know sometimes geocaching at Tet Tree, like those cat's eyes, you're hooked together with 4 other people, like just ropes around around your waist. You're hooked together with all these people, and you have at night, she hangs up these like eyes, owl, cat, any type of animal. There's 2 sets. There's 2 groups. Well, if you find your set of eyes, then underneath that tree is a cache.
Oh, that is neat.
And then you have to take that stuff and use it to do one of their activities.
But the one had the doorbell.
Somebody had one out there, and it was a battery-operated doorbell. You came up to the spot, and you had to ring it until you figured out where it was.
Where
it
came from.
We've been thinking about electronic gadgets in the woods, but we never come up with something that will work, that will keep the weather out, where the battery will last.
I think this was just an event.
Because we're thinking about motion detectors, light detectors, sound detectors, and how do you make it work?
And weatherproof it.
And you got to make, we got to somehow funnel this guy in between these rocks, so it goes off.
Yeah.
We did at the cache dash we went to last weekend, we had one, it's called Sticky. And we're like, okay. And they gave us a Ziploc bag with some stuff in it at the beginning. It had gum in it. When we first got there, we had a piece of paper with
stickers on it
that we had to sign our name in.
Okay. And then since they had gum, once they found the cache, they had to chew their gum and put their gum on that paper.
On our square.
Just to show that they were there. And I'm going to think of one that she doesn't even know about.
Don't tell her.
I'll get her. I'll trick her something. And I want to catch up with her, even though I have to get 400 some.
We're trying to get more and more caches down in this area that mine are the only ones in Clark County. Iowa Copper has hers are down at Lamoni. So there's a whole bunch of them down there. And there just haven't been a whole lot down here, so not a lot of caches.
Yeah. Right.
It really puts them out.
We're
trying to get more and more and bring people down here, but if you make a trip from Des Moines down here, you have to have a day's worth of caches.
Yeah. Have you ever pulled a cow's tooth?
No.
I have.
Not when it was alive.
I have when it was dead. I pulled like 8 out. A good one would be a cow's tooth. Just put the cord
inside. Have your dentist drill it inside your teeth.
Yeah.
And say, well, the cord open wide.
Back baller.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yep.
Jan.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Good luck tomorrow.
I'll be in touch online, and like I said, if I get this put together, I'll send you your own copy of your conversation.
That'd be awesome.
Sounds good.
Alrighty.
Thanks a lot. Yep. Yep. Well, that was the conversation that we had at the spur of the moment. Very interesting, and I'm glad that we took a chance and rang the doorbell. The next podcast will contain additional sounds from our trip up north. I appreciate you listening to this podcast. No Frapper maps, no begging for voting on any of the podcast lists, no advertising. We just like to keep it simple and clean. We've now arrived at the evening in a town outside of St. Louis. Hope you join us next time. Talk at you later.
This concludes the Slaga Podcast. For more information about the Slaga Group and geocaching in the St. Louis, Missouri area, go to www.geostl.com. Here's wishing you a strong signal and a trusty bearing.